Now, the actual celebration of Christmas always seems to me to be over so quickly. There is so much preparation, isn't there? The shops have you starting buying your presents about September. And you go right through and there's a mad rush at the end and you're so busy. And then you come to Christmas and you have one or two days of celebration. And then it's over. But I would have to say that personally, for me, this year, I believe as a church, we've had an amazing Christmas celebration. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And that to me has been the very high point of Christmas. I think back to last Sunday. It's only last Sunday, it seems a long time ago now, when we had our Christmas carols and Christmas play. And we had it for the whole day, it seemed. We had the production in the afternoon, the rehearsal. We had quite a number come to share with us in that. And then we had the one at night. And I thought it was wonderful. And what I really loved about it was how many were involved. I counted up how many were involved in the production. The choir, the musicians, the actors, the people on the sound desk, the people who were involved in the refreshments outside. You know, we had over 35 people. We only have a congregation of just over 100. That's amazing, I think. And that really thrilled my heart. We could celebrate Christmas in such a way together. And then on Christmas Day, which I felt was quite incredible, again, because of the number of people who were involved in making it happen. The musicians. Wasn't it lovely? We had the piano and organ. We had the cello and the drums together, and the choir up here. So much sound being projected by them. And this year, of course, I made the choir work really hard. They thought they only had to sing. They also had to bring candles and light them, and eight of them had to do the reading. And they did it, and no one moaned, or at least not to me. And that's the joy of celebrating Christmas together and thinking about the Christ born into this world. But all that is now past. It's gone. Soon the decorations will be taken down, and they will be put in boxes and stored away till next year. And it's time for us to leave the stable. But of course, that's the reality of what happened. Mary and Joseph and the baby, they didn't stay in that stable very long. I guess as short a time as they possibly could. And the shepherds, they didn't stay there long either. They went, and the baby went with them, and the Holy Family went out from the stable and started life as they were going to live it for some time from then on. And that's what happened 2,000 years ago. And it would be ridiculous for us, wouldn't it, or for anyone, to worship Jesus now as though he was still the baby in a manger. That wouldn't be any good whatsoever. What good would God as a baby be for us? Couldn't do very much at all. But of course, Jesus didn't stay a baby in the manger. He left with his family. He grew to become a man. He preached and proclaimed about God. He did mighty works until people began to look at him and think, this is not just a man, this is indeed the chosen one, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And then he allowed himself to be crucified upon a cross so that he could present to God as a sacrifice his own life to cover our sins and our wrongdoings, to give us the cleansing that we so need to stand righteous before a holy God. And then he rose again. What a wonderful time that is, that we celebrate soon at Easter. He rose again. And after he rose from the dead and was with his disciples for a period of time, then he ascended into heaven. And when he ascended, he called all those who would follow him to do his will, to carry on his plan for this world, to be soldiers of the cross, to own him as Lord, and to look towards his coming again in triumph. And that's great, and that's what we do. But let me tell you that as well as the Christ leaving the stable, there were the others who were with him, who also left the stable. The interesting thing is that Luke in his gospel tells us that each one of them left the stable with a specific agenda in mind. Things we are told that they did, which we also, as believers living today, can to some degree do too. As we move on from the stable into 2014, into a new year of opportunities, a new year to serve, a new year to glorify our God together. So let's think about that. Let's think about Mary first. You know, as Mary prepared to move on from that stable, Luke tells us that she was conscious of the unknown future that was stretching out before her and her infant son. And verse 19 says, and I always love this verse in Luke, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And we know what all those things were. They began when the angel first came to her, Gabriel, and said, Mary, you are chosen. You're precious in God's sight. You are going to have a son, and he will be called the Son of God. And from that moment, Mary saw a lot of things happening around her. Some confused her, some excited her, some perhaps worried her. She then heard about Elizabeth and Zechariah and the baby that was born to them, or was to be born to them, though they were old, and Zechariah in the temple. Now he couldn't even talk anymore. And then she heard about Joseph, who at first didn't want to have anything to do with her, it would seem. But then he had a dream. The angel spoke to him and he told her. And then, of course, that long journey to Bethlehem. And then the baby being born in, of all places, a stable. And then the shepherds come in. And the shepherds have some great news about angels and good news and the Saviour of the world. All these things Mary treasured. That's a great word, isn't it, treasure? You ever thought about how great that word is? Now, it's actually from a very normal Greek word, the Greek word keep, or kept, the verb. But it's in such an intensive form, it means to keep something extremely safe because it's precious. Use of keeping gold or jewels, locking them away in your safe. That's what it meant. It means they are so precious to you that you will keep them, you will look after them. They must never be lost. That's how Mary considered the things that she heard. But she didn't just lock them away and not think about them. She pondered on them. Another interesting Greek word. It means to take something from here, and something from here, and something from here, and work out how they all connect together. And that's what she did. All these things she had heard, she treasured them up, and then she pondered them and saw how they all kept together. Mary left that stable thinking. Not a bad thing to do, if you can manage it. And she treasured up her thoughts because God was at work, and she didn't want to lose any of that or let it go. I wonder whether you will take some thought away from what you've experienced this Christmas that has really touched your life. I wonder whether there was something that you experienced, perhaps through a service, the play, something you saw on TV, something that was written on a card that really touched you, something someone said to you, but it's a thought from God that came to you at Christmas, that you want to treasure, that you want to ponder on. Well, how will you do that? If there's something like that you will take away, will you write it down so you never forget it? Will you get it, make sure it's solid? Because it's precious, you see. You can't afford to lose it. You've got to keep it safe. You've got to make it precious, a precious thing for you, for the rest of your life. And will you do this, not just at Christmas time, but the whole year? To collect in some way
those thoughts and treasure them so that you can ponder them or the wonderful truth God gives you. You know, I was sitting here this morning thinking that so many things were mentioned. You know, Rex began by mentioning, as the deer pants, he says that's from a psalm. And I'm thinking, now what psalm does that come from? Yeah, I think I know that. I thought, there are so many verses of scripture. There are so many things I've heard which I haven't retained. Is that the same with you? So how can we? How can we treasure them? How can we lock them away so that we can ponder on them again and again? Now, one of the things that we can do is to have a journal. Have a journal so you can write these things down. I've always kind of been not that type, you know. I find it really hard. I start and then I forget and I'll stop or things like that. Or I lose it. Mainly because it's only something that's not very special to me, just a little scrap of paper or what. But I thought, I'm challenged this year to start 2014 and have a journal. Some sort of thing that I can write down the thoughts from my own Bible reading every day. Or the thoughts that really touch me. I can write it down on that date in my journal. I think I need to get one. Someone this morning gave me a nice pink diary. And I've already got a diary, but I thought, there's my journal. It came just this morning for me. As though God says, I'm going to keep you to that, Keith. Will you do that? That's something you can do. Treasure. That's what Mary went away from that stable. Treasuring. And thinking. And pondering. And then there's Joseph. Wow, Joseph. I love Joseph. Joseph is a man's man. Carpenter. Good with tools. He can hit nails hard. He can work out how to do things. That's Joseph. Joseph, I think, left that stable determined to follow the Lord's instructions in the law of Moses regarding his son. See, if you go to the law of Moses, you will find that there were obligations in the law of Moses that God put on fathers and on parents. 8 days after Jesus was born, Joseph took him. He had him circumcised and named according to the law of Moses. 40 days later, he took Mary and the baby Jesus to the temple. And there he presented the baby and his wife and offered the sacrifices. Now, every other Jewish father no doubt did that. But I think Joseph did it with a determination because he knew this baby was special. Wouldn't you? Because he knew that he had to do it right. And I believe Joseph made a practice of doing it right according to the law of God. That's why he's called a righteous man. And he went thinking, I'm a dad, this special boy, I am going to do what God wants me to do, what God has set down for me. God still has his set commands for all believers. Of course he does. He has written things down in the New Testament that believers should do. Definite things that we should do. And I wonder whether there's some that you need to follow because you've never followed them. Let me give you a couple. Baptism. That's there in the scripture. And we find Jesus himself being baptized as an example to us. His baptism was a symbol, wasn't it, Lucas? Like a ring, right, that's right. Because the ring, after your marriage, you put the ring on. And after you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are baptized to right, wash away your sins. Because they've been washed away, but you proclaim it before others. It's a command. Can I have a baptismal service soon? Aren't we, Lucas? And if you want to be part of that, then talk to me. Another one is communion. You think, oh, communion? Yeah, we do communion. We do it here twice a month, third Sundays. But you see, when the Lord talks about communion, he's not saying just turn up, is he? He's saying this is a very special feast. Do you really reverence communion? Do you come to it and set yourself to meet with God in communion? Is communion a feast that you say, I can't miss because it's communion?
And then there's fellowshiping in order to worship together. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more if you see the day approaching. You see, God puts great emphasis on his people meeting together to worship him. We can't just treat it as I think I could go this week. I know people say in this modern age that we get into the habit of going fortnightly now. No, you don't. You get in the habit of doing what God wants you to do. And that is, it becomes a priority for you and for your family. Give in to the Lord's work. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, and he was talking about a specific thing. Now, about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. That was a particular occasion. But the idea is there, isn't it? That God encourages us to give towards his work from our income, according to what he has first blessed us. And through the Bible, through even in the Old Testament, it's even there in the New Testament, the idea of tithes and offerings to the Lord. Commitment to the body. Paul says, now you, if you're a believer, you are not by yourself anymore. You're not an individual. You are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. There is a commitment that the Lord expects us to follow and have to the body. It's a commitment where we are all involved, all doing something. It shouldn't just be a few who do this, and a few who do that, and a few who do that. It should be a gathering together that we all support each other in that. We may not all have the physical strength to do certain tasks, but there's tasks we can all do. And the membership of a body, the church membership, I know to be important, because it's accepting the responsibility of saying we are the body and we are going to stick with it whatever comes, because this is where God's put us, and therefore we commit ourselves to one another. There's some things as you leave the stable you think, hey, some of the commands of God I need to check up on and think more about. It's what Joseph, I think, did. And then finally there's those shepherds. We're told exactly what they did, aren't we, when they left the stable. When they had seen him, Luke says, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds left the stable, sharing the good news. The shepherds left the stable, spreading the word of God. The shepherds left the stable, glorifying and praising God. If they'd have left the stable without doing those things, God would not have been glorified to the extent that he was amongst those that they met. And others would not have heard. And the same is true for us. We leave the stable, even if we leave a church building, to go into the place where God has put us in the world. And we go there in order that we can share in some way the good news. In order that we can spread the word of God, that we can glorify and praise God. You know, sometimes I think that it's by the glorifying and praising God through what he's done in our lives that we do the other two. As we leave Christmas, is there something that you can share about Christmas with others? They may share with you about what they've done at Christmas. Do you share with them what you were doing? Wow, I was in church on Christmas Day and I sensed God there with me. Can you write to someone and tell them that? Can you phone someone and tell them that? Can you share that good news? Leave the stable, go into the world, and proclaim God who you love.
whatever way you can, wherever you can, with whatever opportunity is yours, by the power of the Spirit of God. Leave the stable. It's time to go. It's time to go out in the world. 2014 beckons. We can do in that time, by God's power in us, to shake this world.